Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with your host, the Honorable Sam Rohrer, President of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues impacting our economy, our homes, our churches, our culture, and our daily lives from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Stand in the Gap Today, transforming the culture one heart at a time.
Well, most listening to me right now have voted during your lifetime. Matter of fact, it's probable that you have voted often and you are likely considered a likely voter. We saw the result of engaged in voters in the fall election of 2016, where so many people voted that it swung the election away from the likely to win candidate, Hillary Clinton, to the unlikely candidate, Donald Trump. Elections that are like that really are truly spectacular and historic, and as we know, are really changing the direction of the world. But in many ways, every election is equally important. But there is an election that's far more important than the general election. You say, what is that? Do you know what it is? And actually, there's a very small percentage of the people who can swing a particular election. And do you know what that percentage is? Well, we're going to share these interesting pieces of information in just a moment, because if you love liberty, you love America, and you love freedom to worship God as you please, as well as to train up your children as you desire, if you like the freedom to own private property and to travel freely, then you must know these things that we're going to share on today's program. My general theme for today is this: vote and vote wisely. Our freedom depends upon it. And with that roadmap for today's program, I want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. I'm Sam Rohrer. This program is now heard on over 435 stations nationwide. It's by satellite and worldwide via the internet. My special guest for this part of the program is Debbie Wuthnow. She's the executive director of iVoter Guide, which can be found at iVoterGuide.com. Debbie's going to be with me in the first two segments, and then in the last two, I'll be joined by our recurring guest, constitutional attorney, historian, and biblical scholar, David New. So let me welcome in right now Debbie Wuthnow, executive director of iVoter Guide. Debbie, thanks for being with us today. You've been traveling, trying to get people involved and educated about voting, so thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Debbie, I want to go right into this because our time is limited and you can spend a lot of time here with us, but the matter of voting and Christians voting and voting wisely is something that we talk a lot about here at APN on Stand in the Gap. You share that conviction. As a matter of fact, you've taken this conviction a step further by identifying a need that arises, that exists out there, and you've come up with the concept of what's called the iVoter Guide to help people vote wisely, which is so important. Share with us just a bit about what the iVoter Guide is, when it started, and why it exists.
Well, iVoter Guide is an online voter guide. It gives voters the facts and the data to evaluate candidates that are running for races and to identify if they share their values and to vote wisely. It was started back in, decades ago. Our founder, Richard Ford, was involved in Texas politics, and he was seeing that every bad law and every judicial decision is you can draw the line back to who was elected. So lobbying is important, but being involved in elections is even more important. And typically Christians either don't vote or they don't vote a full ballot or they don't vote wisely. So he set out to set up a system to do research on the candidates. And what we do is we look at what they do and not what they say. And one of the ways that we look at it is, you know, you wouldn't hire somebody to take care of your children that just told you, I love kids and I'm going to do a good job. You would look at their resume of what they've done. So we gather and do all that research for voters so they can vote wisely.
Well, I think that's a good thing. The statement you've made there is really a staggering thing. Christians either don't vote regularly, or don't vote wisely. What a statement. But that's why you're doing this, in order to help this segment. Now, voting in elections seem to drive more in this economy, perhaps, than anything. Organizations are involved. People spend lots of money. We've seen it. We see it now. There's a lot of effort and a lot of impact on voting here in Pennsylvania. Right now, this morning, the GOP legislature, leaders in our legislature here, are appealing to the Supreme Court because the Pennsylvania Supreme Court have decided to arbitrarily redraw the congressional maps. and they are citing that this is a confusion to the voter, and it is, and things are really upset about it. But that brings us down to this. What, regardless of all of the confusion, this emphasis that is here, and bringing it back to the point that you made, why should every Christian and every American patriot be more motivated than ever to be involved in voting and voting wisely?
Our culture is determined by elections, and it's and we're commanded to be salt and light. So we need to be the people who engage in that process. And, you know, only one in four Christians bother to vote in an election. And when you do that, when you bury your, I'm going to say bury your head in the sand, but you abdicate your responsibility, and then we want to complain about the laws that are coming down. And laws that are attacking us are coming from legislatures. I look at some of those SOGI laws, the bathroom ordinances. We've dealt with that in Texas, which is where I'm from. It started in Texas, in Houston. And it came from in Houston, a Democratic mayor who was elected by, you know, less than 5% of voters. She's the first openly lesbian mayor in Houston, where there are more churches than you can't go five steps without finding another church. But Christians are not engaging in the elections, and these people get into office, and then they carry forward with their agenda, and we haven't taken part in the process. So in that election, this mayor was elected with 97,000 votes in Houston, where there are 4 million people and 2 million who registered to vote. 5% of voters reelected her to office. And then she pushes through this Houston Equal Rights Ordinance that banned discrimination on gender identity. That's what really opened this bathroom ordinance law. Remember, there's 2 million voters in that city, and only 97,000 put her into office. If you look at, I went and looked at the number of churches that are in Houston. Well, there's thousands of churches in Houston. But if you count just the attendance at the 10 largest churches, they could have carried that election, 140,000 members in just 10 churches in Houston. Mm. I think the church stayed home and didn't let their voice be heard, and they allowed this to happen. Now, God blessed them, and they were able to, you know, get a petition, get it back on the ballot, and they were able to defeat this ordinance. But they wouldn't have had to do that if they had turned up and voted in the first place.
Well, your statement there, the culture is determined by those who are elected, I think has a lot to do with it, because we're talking about voting. Obviously, we know that the state of the church determines our culture, but the state of the church is not real good shape because not too many Christians are voting, and that's the point here. But as I go in this last question here to you in this segment, I mentioned to the listeners, actually, I have to come back on the other side of the break here, Debbie, because I ask our listeners to think about this. What election is more important even than the general election that we generally think of in November? And I want you to answer that question when we come back, because it's going to tie into the next segment where I want to focus on this, voting, voting wisely, and getting involved. So stay tuned. We're going to talk to Debbie Wethrow, Executive Director of iVoter Guide, about voting wisely, that guide. We're going to talk about that special election and the few percentage of people that can actually make a difference. And you can hear what it is. Not enough good people are doing what they need to do.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teachers' editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Thank you, Sam, and thank you to the team that you have working with you. I'll tell you one thing about your show. You accomplish more in less time to advance the gospel and to advance knowledge and understanding of seriously any radio show I know of. So congratulations.
Those kind words from Congressman Michelle Bachmann summarize what our guests say about Stand in the Gap today. This is Sam Rohr. On this program, we bring honest analysis of today's news to you and millions of Americans every day. With a newspaper in one hand and the Word of God in the other, we connect the dots between what's happening and what God says about what's happening in light of the Bible and the Constitution. From the mouths of our co-hosts, all preachers, whether former members of the House of Representatives or an evangelist to a millennial pastor or a senior pastor of 40 years, Stand in the Gap today is here for you. Unique, current, trustworthy. Pray for us. Stand with us financially by going to standinthegapradio.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today. For more information, visit our website at standinthegapradio.com.
Voting is something that, if we're not careful, we could take lightly, we could disregard, we could fail to participate, or we could vote, but vote unwisely. And we just heard that unfortunately that happens far too often in this nation. The result is that we have inferior candidates from which to choose in the general election. And we know that inferior or unprepared candidates will result in inferior legislation and regressive policy. But there are a few facts that, if known and utilized by even a small percentage of the Christian patriot voters, could help turn the tide and help elect more qualified candidates for positions of God-designed civil government. iVoter Guide, which can be found at this address, iVoterGuide.com, can significantly help all and benefit all of you who are listening right now. And in fact, there's a way that you can help them, and by so doing, help every person who wants to vote and vote wisely. And with that, I want to welcome back to Stand in the Gap today, Debbie Wuthnow. She's the executive director of iVoter Guide. And Debbie, in that last segment, we began down that road a little bit. I was about to ask you that question that I posed at the beginning of the program when I set it up, that there is an election that is even more important than the general election. And I alluded to the fact that there is a relatively very small percentage of people that, if involved, could actually make a gigantic difference. What is that election, and what is that percentage?
Well, that election is the party primary election, and it's really critical for two reasons, and most powerful. The first one, and it's in the news in Pennsylvania, it's because of the way the districts are drawn. When they are drawn every census year, all the districts are drawn to favor one party over the other. So 80% of legislative districts, both federal and state Senate and state representatives, are determined to either favor a Republican Party or a Democratic Party. So the election in 80% of that cases doesn't happen in November. It happens in the party primary, and that's your chance to pull your representative more in line with your values. You're really your chance to vote on some of the strongest conservative values. Additionally, so 80% of legislators are chosen, but fewer people vote. In a general election, turnout can average around 60%. In a primary election, it averages around 15% of people who turn out to vote. So that means that 7.5% of registered voters can actually determine the winner, the victor, in 80% of legislative races. And if you're not making your voice heard then, you're missing the biggest sale around. You're missing the chance to make your big impact.
Well, I think that's a great point that you're making, and I can confirm that. I was in a General Assembly here, Debbie, as you know. I ran 9 times, and I ran twice statewide, and I can attest to that, ladies and gentlemen. The primary is perhaps the best and the most key time to be involved, and it makes the biggest difference. And of course, you heard that, about 60% turnout in the fall, about a 15%, Debbie was saying, generally in the primary. So obviously it takes a smaller number of people to make a bigger impact, but who's selected in the primary, I will tell you, often will win, depending on the makeup of that district, in the fall.
That's
now,
right.
Debbie, going back to the voter's guide, what does the voter guide offer to the informed voter? So if someone's listening to the program and they say it right now, makes sense what you're saying. I am a voter. I do want to make my vote count. What can they gain from the iVoter Guide? And again, this is going all over the country to every state is picking up this signal. So answer it in a way that people or listeners can understand and take advantage of the iVoter Guide.
Well, sure. Our goal is to be the data-driven nonpartisan resource for facts about what a candidate has done, not just what they say. All the campaign flyers you hear, all the radio ads frequently talk about what a candidate says they're going to do. We go and look at what a candidate has done, which gives makes a regular voter into an informed voter so that they can vote wisely. I think that's why not as many vote in the primary, because they don't know who to vote for or how to research those candidates. So we equip and empower the just a concerned Christian to become an informed voter. We look at and gather all the research in one place. We gather vote ratings from hundreds of organizations, both liberal and conservative, that look at incumbents and how they vote when they're in office. That is the best indicator of how somebody, if they represent your values or not. And I would tell you, if you think your representative currently is great, go and check it out. Trust him, but verify that they are voting your values when they're in office before you either vote for him or just don't show up and lose your voice.
Okay, at what level does iVoter Guide get involved? In other words, I'm sitting in Pennsylvania right now, but we've got listeners in other states. Does the iVoter Guide have information for all states, some states? What level?
All states, federal level candidates, so all senators, all congressmen. And there are six or seven states, we're still evaluating that, where we will research all your statewide candidates, and we will research your state legislative candidates, so your state senators and state representatives. Those states are Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Indiana, and Wisconsin. And so we chose those states because they have key statewide races, but by using somebody going and using iVoter Guide to choose who they're voting for Senate, they can vote an informed full ballot all the way down to state rep. And there's going to be 10 or 11 races that iVoter Guide will be your resource to identify who can you vote for wisely.
Okay, so listeners, if you're living in Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Indiana, Wisconsin, you will be able to access not just the federal races and the candidates, but you will also be able to find your state-level General Assembly, state Senate, and state House elections as well. Debbie, is that right,
what I just said? As well as governor, lieutenant governor, attorney general. And in
yes.
some of those states, you know, the Supreme Court that's up for retention will give you some research on those people as well.
Okay. All right. That's very, very important to know. Now, what do you do in an example like this, Debbie? You have a seat where somebody is an incumbent, they're running, they have votes. Mm-hmm. But what do you do and how is it reflected in this voter guide where there is someone running for the first time, challenging perhaps an incumbent? How do you evaluate someone who does not have a voting record? How does that show up in voter guide?
Sure. The other data points that we look at is we get campaign finance data, both from the FEC for national candidates, and then in those states where we research, we get the state campaign finance data. So if this person that's running for office and has never held office before and doesn't have a vote rating, we look at who they gave money to and who they've received money from, because that can be very indicative and telling of what is important to them. Because if they've given to ideological organizations, if they've given to people who are already legislators, we actually are able to take, if somebody gave to Scott Wagner and we've got Scott Wagner's vote rating, we will link that to this new candidate. And that's looking at him based on something he's done, not just what he says. But we also go out and get endorsements, gather them all into one place. And on top of that, we do the issue survey. But to us, an issue survey is more what they say. It can help you differentiate candidates, but it's the least important piece of data as we view it. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, Debbie, I would agree with you that having been in office for a long time, that going to the votes, if the votes are actually measured properly, they're far more telling than what someone just says. So I think that's a great thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, again, that can be found at iVoterGuide.com. Now, I did mention also to our listeners, Debbie, that they possibly, if they like this concept and they want to do something and be a part of helping in this process, that you, in fact, have a way that that can be done. How can that be done? How can a listener listening right now and saying, I'd like to help somehow in this, and they want to do something, what should they do?
Well, the first thing to do is to use it and to then tell other people to use that it's there. Tell other people that share our values and want to vote wisely. Help us get the word out. You can go to our website. We have a Get Involved tab, and we have resources for you to pass out at your church that just gives a flyer. Your church can send people to iVoterGuide.com. We have a way that you can sign up to be a panelist. So one thing that we do provide that I hadn't talked about yet is all the data that we get can be a lot of data to go through, but we have conservative individuals who are activists and want to make a difference, and they volunteer 10 to 12 hours of their time And they look at all our data, and then they give a grade to each candidate on a 7-point scale from very conservative to very liberal with a snapshot of how confident they are of how this person will vote once they're in office. And for the voters who aren't as informed as an engaged, it's a great snapshot for them to see how a candidate's going to do. And you could volunteer to be a panelist. You can look for that on our website. If you lead an organization and you want to use iVoterGuide with your organization, just like, you know, Sam, you can become a partner with us, just like American Pastors Network and FRC Action and AFA Action. We want to work together with other organizations that share our values and partner with them and provide our tool to their membership so that more people can be voting in an informed manner.
Okay, and Debbie, to be clear again for those who are listening, this is not a partisan guide. You are evaluating this on the basis of what? What criteria are you using here? It's not Democrat or Republican.
No,
what are you using?
We have some core conservative issues of life, liberty, strong defense, and we look at them from a broad spectrum of conservative issues, and we are evaluating them on how confident are we that they will vote 95% as a conservative or 85% as a conservative, or how confident are we that they're going to vote as a liberal? Because in the general election, we will be evaluating all the candidates as well. So it's just from a broad spectrum as opposed to any one particular issue. But we also give the voters the data to back it up. We don't tell them who to vote for, but we do the research for them and let them vote wisely and choose who they're going to vote for.
All right. Debbie, excellent, excellent, excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been listening and talking now with Debbie Wuthnow. She is the executive director of iVoterGuide. Go there, iVoterGuide.com. Use it. Look over what they have. Put in your zip code, which you can. Find out what they have for the state in which you are living. And also volunteer to be a part of that. Debbie, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Sam.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, David New is going to step into the program. And we're going to talk about voting next, a privilege, a duty. Then we're going to talk about the Christian duty, what the Bible says.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, discussing the pressing issues facing our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Now let's rejoin our host.
Well, welcome back to Stand in the Gap today. I'm Sam Rohr, and our special guest now is going to be David New, who's with us every other Thursday. And we're going to be talking in this continuing discussion here today on the theme of voting. We just had Debbie Wuthnow on with iVoterGuide.com, which is a really great approach to actually having a consideration of an evaluation of candidates for office. And so I want you to take advantage of that. Now, if you're just joining us, again, at this point, I'd like to remind you, go to our website at standinthegapradio.com, find this archive, other programs in the past. You can listen to it live there on our app on your phone. Download our free app. Put in the phrase Stand in the Gap, and then you can download it. You can listen to the program there. It's probably most convenient way that you can do that. You can communicate to us. We can communicate to you. We can give you alerts. You can also partner with us financially, which, again, I want to encourage you to strongly consider and to pray about doing. Even a small amount per month, very, very important for us as a ministry. Now, let's go back to our theme here today, which I've entitled Vote and Vote Wisely. Our freedom depends upon it. We talked about this methodology for evaluating and providing tools for Christians, but as Debbie told us, less than 1 in 4 Christians vote. And she said they don't vote often, and when they do vote, they don't vote intelligently. Well, that is an absolute shame. And so I want to talk now with David New here as we consider this concept of voting, because in essence, we vote for a lot of things. Reality, we may not think about it, but going to the election, to the poll, to vote, is to go there to choose. And we say, well, that's just once or twice a year. Well, it may be, but it's important. And some people I know downplay that. Yet we make choices all the time. We choose where we're going to go, what we're going to eat, and what we're going to do. If we choose unwisely about what we eat, our health is going to suffer. If we choose unwisely about what we think, our thinking is going to suffer. If we choose unwisely about who will serve in public office or other positions of leadership, our entire family and our entire nation is going to suffer. So one question is voting a privilege? Is it a duty? Or has it become a drudgery? And to step into this consideration, I want to invite David New, constitutional attorney, historian, and biblical scholar. Dave, welcome to the program. And you were listening here. You heard what we were just talking about. But this this nation's a free nation. It always has been. But there's an aspect about it, Dave, that I'd like to have your consideration on. Most people are listening to this program right now have grown up in America. All we've ever known is freedom, the ability to go to the polls and vote. But according to Freedom House, an article I'm just looking at right now, and this goes back a couple of years, so things have already changed beyond this. They say there's been an erosion in global freedom. Freedom being defined as, to a large degree, by the ability for citizens to freely and fairly elect their leaders. And I'm looking at a map right now that you may have in front of you as well that they published a couple of years ago that shows that 45% of the nations of the world are free, 30% are partly free, and 25% are not free at all. On that map, the freest are the Americas, North and South, and Europe. Would you care to comment, David, on the Americas and Europe and why they are the most free and have the freest elections?
Well, the primary, it's so nice to be with you again. Blessings to you. Primary reason I believe that Western Europe and the American states are the freest part of the world is because we have adopted Christianity as our model for cultural values. And of course, Christianity emphasizes liberty and freedom. Jesus Christ does not force himself on anybody, it's whosoever will. So you have the freedom to accept or reject Jesus. And you also, because the Bible teaches law, that the law is supreme and not man. It also means that there's going to be freedom. So Western civilization is the leader on this planet. I know that's considered a dirty word these days, but it's nevertheless true. And one of the primary reasons why the American states are so free and have so few wars is because of the United States. We do a great deal to make sure that Central and South America, within limits, maintain themselves in a proper way. We try to keep people out that have no business being here. We have what's called the Monroe Doctrine. So we're not interested in having all kinds of foreigners coming over here and interfering with this hemisphere. So it's Christianity is the primary reason, without question.
I would look at that too, David, because any objective person looking at that map would say, wow, that's an amazing thing when you look at that. Why is it that Africa and the Eastern countries and the Middle East are some of the most closed countries? And you're really going to that. It's a result of an ideology. Now, a lot of people, David, will say that voting is a privilege. And I know there's a legal connotation to that that you can get into or not. Some would say that it is a duty. Some would say that it is both. And I tend to go that direction, but tell me what you think about this concept about voting being a privilege and therefore the connection that it should have from a citizen's perspective to utilize or be a part of that voting process.
Well, I agree with all of those words. I believe it is a right, and I also believe that it is a privilege. The word I like actually to use for voting the best of all is that it is precious. It is more precious than gold and silver and all the fine jewels. Now just think for a moment. In this great country of ours, for a long time, women were not allowed to vote. During colonial days, women did briefly were allowed to vote in New York and New Jersey if they inherited their husband's business and had basically an estate. Women did vote, but that pretty much ended once the American Revolution came along and the state government started to form. And, of course, that did not really, women weren't allowed to vote for a long time. And the real big impetus started in 1848 in Seneca Falls, New York, with the Women's Convention. Now, remember, this is 1848 where they're trying to get women's right to vote. And it didn't come federally until 1920 with the 19th Amendment. So the people who started the effort to protect a woman's right to vote never saw it in their lifetime. So it's precious. It's something that should not be taken for granted. The state of Wyoming was the very first state to make the right of women to vote permanent when Wyoming became a territory in 1869, but there was a problem with Wyoming, and that was the liquor industry. The liquor industry spent a lot of money denying Wyoming as a statehood because they did not like the fact that women were voting in Wyoming. You have to remember, at this time, there was a temperance movement in the United States, and the liquor industry was concerned that if women were given the right to vote, that they would vote temperance and they would ban alcohol and so forth. And so, although Wyoming became a territory in 1869, it did not become a state until 1890, and then barely Congress approved it because of the liquor industry. So it's something that is precious. It's very, very, very precious. It should not be taken for granted.
And, David, as you're saying very clearly, and as the maps indicate we're looking at, it's not the default position in life. Totalitarian regimes, ladies and gentlemen, don't agree with the right to vote because they don't want the people to have a choice upon who is serving them. But not only is it a privilege, a right that David said, he said it's very precious, there's the aspect of duty as well. And I hearken back, David, I've often hearkened back to this here in Pennsylvania where I'm sitting right now. William Penn and his frame of government laid out the framework of government. He talked about the importance of biblical worldview, God, the view of man, the view of justice, the role of government. But he also said that this concept of self-government, this republic, which we now have, which at that point they were hoping to have, he did say that it could only continue if the republic were ever to come about. It would only happen if the citizens disciplined themselves according to the Ten Commandments of God, submitted to his moral law, and they chose people who would be in positions of office, who knew who God was, made good laws, opposed evil laws, and limited their actions according to as what God had said. And that's what we're just talking about in the first part of this program. Who we have in government is a function of who we choose to have. And that becomes really, David, almost a duty from that perspective, would you not say?
Well, I don't think there's any question that it's a duty. If you look at 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 17th verse, it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God. Now here's the key words, honor the king. Well, we don't have a king except for King Jesus. Let me update that passage. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the Constitution. We have a Constitution. So if we were to update that verse to our time, Peter the Apostle is telling us to honor the Constitution, and that means voting.
Ladies and gentlemen, you hear it there. It is a duty. Now, I know there are many people who say, well, you know what, we can be a participant and enjoy freedom, but we don't have to get involved. Well, no, you really do. And in the next segment, we're going to look at what does the Bible say about it? Does the Bible talk about elections? What are the principles that are involved in the Old and the New Testament that speaks about voting? Voting for good people. Does it talk about it? We're going to talk about that when we come back. I think you'll be surprised and encouraged that the Bible does indeed speak to this issue.
Here's what Dr. Jimmy DeYoung has to say about Stand in the Gap.
But I just feel compelled. This is an unsolicited testimonial that I want to bring to your audience. This opportunity that the people listening to you have to reach this nation with the truth, the biblical truth, constitutional truth, has to be taken care of. The American Pastors Network, there's no parallel in all of America with that. The 425 radio stations, I mean, that's an unknown. And I don't know that anybody had put that kind of a network together to do what these guys are doing. And it's got a true focus as far as a talk program. Look at here. You've got a former politician who would probably still like to be a politician. You have a pastor of a church, and you have an itinerant evangelist that travels all over the nation making impact the way he is. Folks, you got to support Stand in the Gap Radio. I just wanted to pass it along because I'm so impressed with this ministry.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Civil freedom and the ability to vote for those positions of authority from an objective perspective exists around the world where a biblical worldview existed or exists. We talked about that just a little bit earlier in the program with David New. This fact is really undeniable. Where a biblical worldview and a view of God is being diminished, freedom and the right to vote with a knowledge of wise voting, freedom is being diminished. And in fact, nations around the world are seeing that freedom diminished as we speak, slowly and incrementally, but surely. So what does the Bible say? Is the concept of voting biblical? Is it a Christian concept? Some would disagree with that. Some would agree with that. But the Bible is very clear in what it says. So just to touch on this as we wind up this program today, I want to go back now to David New. David, I want to ask your opinion. I'm going to read a verse here from the Old Testament, and I'd like you to give what you see regarding principles that may be contained in this verse relative to voting, choosing, representative government, authority, any of those things that revolve around our theme for the day. Here's one that I picked. This was in Deuteronomy chapter 1 in verse 13. This is Israel has come out of Egypt. They're now in the land, and they're beginning to set up society. And Moses, under the guidance of God, said this. He said to the people, quote, choose for your tribes wise, understanding, and experienced men, and I will appoint them as your heads, end quote. Dave, what principles relative to voting, choice, representative government, or authority can you pull and see out of that verse?
Well, it ultimately means that under God, the people rule. Hmm. We get to choose our leaders, but we want our leaders also to acknowledge God and that God is sovereign. So it's a very fundamental principle of American political philosophy that we acknowledge God as the supreme ruler. That is done in the Declaration of Independence with the Creator. There's no more higher authority that God has than as Creator. The reason why God is because He's Creator. And He gave us rights to create. He gave us individual rights that cannot be taken away by any government. Even if they deny us the rights, we still have the right. And we have one of those rights is to create government. So God acknowledges us as having that right, and He has given it to us, and we should not toss it aside.
And I think you picked out a couple of good things. God rules over all. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a principle that we talk a lot about here as a biblical worldview perspective. God is authority. He is over all. He has appointed Jesus Christ as to be the embodiment of authority. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 1, 28, God has given Him all authority. That is all authority over all creation. And underneath of that are the jurisdictions of government. That's what David was talking about. And that is human government. That's individual, that's the family, that's the church, and that's civil government. But David, I found it in this verse where under the guidance of God, Moses told the people, choose for your tribes. Choose for them these type of qualified individuals, understanding and experienced, You choose them, which to me says voting, does it not?
Mm-hmm.
And then Moses said, then I will take and appoint them as God's authority, as the head under God, Moses said. I will take then appoint them as authorities under me, but over you, the people. That sounds a whole lot like representative government, doesn't it?
Sounds awfully similar to that. Yes, I don't think there's any question.
And that's the great thing about, ladies and gentlemen, the connecting of the dots. We talk here on the program often about the fact that every issue of life has a principle within Scripture that can connect with it. It either defines what it ought to be or defines what it ought not to be. Such is the case with voting and our representative government and authority under God. All these things that we've been talking about that our founders understood comes right off of these pages. So the concept of voting, representation, civil government, right off the pages of the Old Testament, instituted by God. Now, David, I want to take you to the New Testament, and you might have another verse, but here's one I found. I want to ask you for your same opinion on this, what principle you see in here. Now, this is a verse from the book of Acts. This is when Judas, having betrayed Jesus Christ and then died, the position, he was one of the 12 disciples, 12 apostles, had been vacated. It needed to be filled. This position did. So in Acts 1 and verse 24 to 26, it says this, and they prayed and said, you, Lord, know the hearts of all. Show which of these two, so there were two choices that they had, which of these two you have chosen to take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Well, Dave, what does that tell you about elections and choosing as it would relate to a matter of filling an unfilled position there within the 12 disciples? What do you see there?
Well, it looks like the Holy Spirit knows how to vote.
Because
that's exactly what's happening here. The voting is being done by the Holy Spirit in this instance.
But in reality, you are correct. I agree with you. But before they went in prayer, didn't humankind, these disciples or others, pick two?
Yes, yes, that's a good point. There were qualifications, you know, that they had to meet to be there. But you're right. Yes, they did limit it to two. And it's not clear exactly how that was done. But nevertheless, the ultimate vote was made by the Holy Spirit. So let's get in line, folks, and vote.
Yeah, and I find there as well, David, that the humankind selected, kind of like a primary election.
Yes. Yes.
And then they came to the end, and then they said, they prayed to God, help give us the wisdom to choose. Because ultimately, we know that God raises up and God puts down a principle all through Scripture. But I would look at that and would say that as Christians, we should ask God's help and the Holy Spirit's guidance for whom we should vote and whom we should choose, because, David, expand upon it, that makes the difference if the righteous in authority or not, does it not?
Absolutely. It makes all the difference in the world, and we can see already the effect of good evangelical Christians getting out to vote in the last election and how important that is. This individual who made the Supreme Court, Gorsuch, would have never been there if it had not been for the fact that people got out and voted. Hmm.
And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to finish this program right there. Voting, it's a privilege. It's a necessity. It's precious, as David said. It's also a duty, but it's also a very Christian action. We need to do it. David, take us to the Lord in prayer as we close the program here, please.
Sure. The Scripture says in 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Dear Father, we pray for America. We pray for every listener today. We pray that each and every person has been motivated to get out and register and to vote and to participate in the body politic. In Jesus' name, we glorify thy blessed Son. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. David New, thanks for being with me today. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us on Stand in the Gap today. Take what you've heard, apply it, and stand in the gap for truth where you are.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today. Stand in the Gap Today is another quality ministry of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most pressing issues affecting the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. We take seriously the command to be salt and light, and the mission to declare truth in the public square. Stand in the Gap Radio is supported through the prayers and tax-deductible financial gifts from listeners like you. Would you please consider a donation to help us increase our outreach of biblical truth? To learn more about us and make your donation, please visit StandInTheGapRadio.com. You may also give from our smartphone app. Download the Stand in the Gap app. Search for it in your web store under the heading Stand in the Gap. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in every weekday at the same time for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.